You've found an encore presentation of the Taxi Stand Hour on Radio TFI.
You found the Taxi Stand Hour.
On blogtalkradio.com, simulcasting on Radio TFI.com.
Good morning, Taxi Land. Welcome to the Taxi Stand Hour here on blogtalkradio.com, also simulcasting on Radio TFI. I'm John Shannon. Thanks for joining us. Waiting back there in the wings is my illustrious co-host, Mr. Ed Van Ness. Good morning. Now, I should.
Good morning. How are we doing?
There you go. There you are. I didn't hear you at first. I'm doing just fine, man.
Oh, that's great. And in the midst of all this, I managed to screw up the Radio TFI broadcast.
Oh, my goodness, man. Well, hopefully.
You...
What did you say, sir?
I said, you keep right on going. Don't worry about me. I'm working on it right now.
You got it. All right. Well, we got a lot to take care of, or to cover today, actually. Take care of. We got a lot to take care of, too. But we actually have somebody scheduled to join us here about 20 minutes after the hour. It's going to talk about an experience that she had with an Uber driver out in Las Vegas. And I was just reading her. She posted, if I'm not mistaken, I forget if she posted a video about that or not, but I know she went into great detail about what happened. And this is why you don't have rank amateurs transporting the public, because
John, I need to interrupt you for 1 second.
They just do not know.
John, I'm going to interrupt you for 1 second.
Right,
I'd like to thank you folks on Radio TFI. We're finally broadcasting over there. Sorry for the problem.
Oh.
All right, go ahead, continue, John.
No, but this lady, her name is Megan. She'll be, like I said, she'll be joining us about 20 after the hour. I'll let her tell her story, but like I said, this is the reason why you don't have rank amateurs out there transporting the public. Do you know that any cab company worth its salt, the bus company, anybody that transports the public for a living, actually goes through, it's not a big part of their training, but it's enough of their training that at least they're taught how to deal with the public, taught how to handle certain situations. I'm actually really looking forward to this when she calls in at 20 after the hour. So what's happening there, my friend?
Well, we've got a lot going on today. There's a lot to talk about. It was a big week in the news for both of our favorite topics. And something we'll get into at the end, near the end of the show, is our big move next week as we shift over to Radio TFI permanently, and we'll get into all that. Oh, probably in the last 10-15 minutes of the broadcast here. But in the meantime, what do you say we? Where do you want to start, Trump or Travis?
I want to actually go ahead and start with Trump today.
Okay,
let's. We'll tourniquet him in about 5 minutes, but about 10 minutes. There's a lot concerning him, including James Comey, the
yes.
former FBI director. Finally, the anticipated testimony to Congress. He had actually quite a few quotes
that he put out there that people have really ran with. And I have a couple of them here. Comey said in his testimony, it confused me when I saw on television that he actually fired me because of the Russia investigation. He goes on to say, the FBI is honest, the FBI is strong, and the FBI is and always will be independent. Later on, he says, the administration then chose to defame me, and more importantly, the FBI, by saying that the organization was in disarray, that it was poorly led. These were lies, plain and simple. He goes on to say the reason that Congress created a 10-year term is so that the director is not feeling as if they are serving at with political loyalty owed to any particular person. He was also concerned about former Attorney General Loretta Lynch's handling of the Hillary Clinton email investigation. At one point, the Attorney General had directed me not to call it an investigation, but instead call it a matter, which confused me and concerned me. Commenting on the one-on-one meeting to end the investigation into Michael Flynn, he says, I remember thinking this is a very disturbing development, really important to our work. And he has multiple quotes in there that he put out, very, very poignant quotes. And I don't know, but he also Trump finally responded, said that he's more than willing to counter these claims, more than willing to testify to Congress, and basically, I don't know, he's going to tell his side of the story, from what I understand.
Well, if you go back into Trump's recent past, or not so recent past, let's look at all the times he has said, you'll see this soon, it's coming out shortly, and his new phrase, fairly shortly. He's not going to testify to anything. Without question, in the court of public opinion, James Comey, no matter his faults, if you're going to believe either one of these two, I mean, Donald Trump has interrupted a lie to start telling another lie in the past. I mean, this man just can't help himself. And as more than one person has commented on, a lot of this sounds like dialogue out of a bad mobster movie. Hey, you know, the thing. We did the thing, and you owe me for the thing, and we'll do it, you know. Please. He's, of course, my favorite of
he
all.
He does actually kind of sound that
way. Yeah, yeah. But my favorite is what they're falling back on now is the stupidity defense. Well, he didn't know any better. He's president of the United States. He's 70 years old. He's apparently run his businesses for most of his life. You mean to tell me? No, I'm sorry. If he's too stupid to know these things, he's too stupid to be president. I'm sorry. That's just... You can't use that as a defense. Well, he did it, but he was a moron. So, you know.
Who was somebody I remember seeing said that, oh, he's new at this.
Right.
We got to cut him some slack. I'm sorry. This is not this job does not allow for any
OJT
learning time, if you will. OJT, that's the word, exactly.
Not only that, but this is why you bring in people with government experience, and not everybody that that has no idea. He surrounds himself with people that just kiss his butt, his orange-tinged butt. And
pop quiz.
Yes.
Who is the last non-politician to actually become president?
The last non-politician. I would have to say George Washington.
No, actually, Herbert Hoover.
Herbert Hoover. What was Hoover doing before?
I don't know what he did, but I've seen this in a couple different places. And you think about what happened to the country during Hoover's administration.
Well, as old as I feel, I wasn't around for that.
Well, but I mean, that was one of the things when Roosevelt was elected, how hard he had to turn things around.
Right.
To reverse some of these things that Hoover, and one of these days, maybe now that I brought it up, maybe I'll do a little bit more research, because that's how I roll. I say something before I do any research.
There you go. That's... Hey, did you actually watch the hearing yesterday?
I did not. Okay. I was working.
Okay.
And, it's funny, when I'm working and when I'm actually rolling, and I was busy yesterday, I just tend to stick with the music because I really don't want to be distracted by any BS.
Well, I want to say this. I did watch it. I did watch it, and it was fascinating and boring at times. And then came Senator John McCain. Oh, boy, was I waiting for McCain.
Oh, crampy.
Here's what I wrote down as soon after he was done. Doddering old man. It was an embarrassment to watch, because he was desperately trying to not step on the president's toe. I don't know that he knew where he was going with that. It was unbelievable, and I gotta say, he dropped a couple notches in my book by so blatantly trying not to be confrontational, or to annoy the president. And this was the guy we thought. Honestly, I was pinning a lot of hope on Senator McCain. And again, I'll always respect him just for his past, his service and all that. But boy, oh boy, there was a little bit more shade was cast on that statue yesterday. And I don't know how that happened, why that happened. But boy, oh boy, it was. I think with anybody else, it would have been funny to watch. With him, it was just sad. It was the epitome of what politics does to people. And now he just tried to stay away from any of the landmines and look like a goofball doing it.
Yeah, I had heard that he almost sounded kind of incoherent.
He did. He did.
So
he couldn't remember names. He was so anyway, before because I don't want to lose track of this before the caller gets here. I want to switch gears now to our other favorite punching bag, and that would be Uber. As you may or may not know, in the past couple of weeks, the state of Texas enacted statewide regulations which supersede any local regulations regarding Uber, Lyft, and the TNCs. We're about to have that happen here in the state of Florida, July 1st. Well, Uber and Lyft came back to Austin. Remember, the people of Austin voted to require fingerprinting and real background checks. Uber and Lyft said, up yours, and left. Now, in the meantime, other outfits sprung up and were abiding by these rules. Fingerprinting, background checks, real inspections, you name it. They weren't just paying lip service to public safety. Now, in the past week, an app called Fare, F-A-R-E, went out of business because so many people ran back to Uber and Lyft when they re-entered the Austin market. Rideshare Austin, or Ride Austin, which is a not-for-profit organization, is is down to article I read yesterday. They anticipate at best they'll be at 20% of what they had a few weeks ago. And they expect some folks to come back to them. But, you know, Uber, Lyft come back in town with cheap rates and uninsured and no background check, no fingerprint drivers. People are flocking to it. So I am absolutely convinced now when people say to me, oh, no, it's the better service. Horseshit. It's the money. And
It's plain and simple.
And speaking of Uber and their past year, 2017, we're not even 6 months done with this year yet. And there was a very interesting report that came out, and we spoke off air about this. And this is Jolene Kent from NBC News. And I want to play this little piece of tape for you folks right now. And it's just a very interesting recap. There's nothing in here we haven't talked about, but it's just put together very nicely. So here we go. Again, Jolene Kent of NBC News.
For Uber, 2017 has been a year filled with controversies and speed bumps. The ride-hailing giant in January kicked off the year on a sour note, reportedly losing 200,000 customers after Uber refused to strike during a protest against President Trump's proposed travel ban. In February, former engineer Susan Fowler wrote a blog post alleging repeated sexual harassment and sexism inside the 12,000-person company. CEO Travis Kalanick called the allegations abhorrent and launched an urgent investigation, one that would be led by former U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder. Just weeks later, a video of Kalanick berating an Uber driver went viral.
Drop the prices on black.
Yes, you did.
We started with $20.
Kalanick later issued a public apology saying he'd be seeking help, but that wasn't the end of Uber's problems in March. Later that month, Uber suspended its self-driving car program after a crash in Arizona. The crash came just days after Uber president Jeff Jones suddenly quit after 6 months on the job. In May, the Justice Department opened a criminal investigation to a secret Uber grayball tool. The tool was used allegedly to evade local regulatory authorities in cities like Portland. Then in June, the company fired at least 20 employees in the fallout of an investigation into sexual harassment, bad behavior, and bullying. All these hiccups coming as Uber continues to lose money. It shed $708 million in the first quarter of 2017 alone. But Uber says rides are up 300% since last year. For its part, Uber says it remains committed to changing its workplace culture.
And again, our thanks to Jolene Kent of NBC News for that special report. So there you have it, folks. There's the 5-month summary of Uber for 2017. And remember, you heard it here first. By New Year's Eve, old Uncle Ed says, they're out the door.
Well, the way they're hemorrhaging money, it's unbelievable. I mean, where do you think the money goes that they're losing? I mean, because they shouldn't, with that particular business model, they shouldn't be losing money at that rate.
Keep in mind,
is it because they're spending? Go ahead.
Keep in mind, what the rates they charge only cover about 41%, it's been reported, of the actual cost of the ride. That's just on their part, on their end. Mm-hmm. Forget the drivers. So they are subsidizing 50 some odd percent of each and every ride. And then, of course, there's the Jetson car and the self-driving car nonsense. And, their legal fees are through the roof. Bear in mind, we still have the Google case that is going to just absolutely destroy them. Absolutely destroy them when that finally gets resolved. And that gets in front of a jury. This young man here is waiting for Uber to have to show their underpants in public. And it's not because I have a thing for underpants either, but that's another story for another time that we'll tell on the new Taxi Stand Hour After Dark program. But that's that's neat.
After Dark, I like that.
After Dark.
All right, listen, we got Megan on the line here now. Now, Megan, again, I'm going to let her tell her story here, but she had quite the experience in an Uber ride out in Las Vegas. And by the way, you know, as you're listening, feel free. If I don't know how many people really, you know, that aren't involved with the industry really come to visit us or whatnot. But if by chance you've had a bad experience with Uber, trust me, we would love to hear from you. If I had cake and candy to give you to entice you to come on, I'd give it to you. But let's bring Megan into the conversation now. And good morning, Megan.
Hi there.
Good morning, Megan.
Hi, how are you?
This is okay? Good morning.
Good morning. This is Ed. I'll be sitting back
here
and listening.
Just fine. Ed's going to sit back in the background. He's going to let me conduct this, I guess. So nobody can tell the story better than you can. Well, let's just go ahead and let us fill us in on your experience with an Uber
Sounds
ride.
Good. Well, I think terrifying pretty much sums it up. I was on vacation due to my husband's trade show in Las Vegas from Canada. I was shopping with my seven-year-old son, and this was my first and, of course, last time using an Uber. And really, I wish I had educated myself more on these horrifying stories that I now see about them, and I would never have used one, especially put my child in one. It began almost immediately as a hostile environment. I was nearing the car, and he was shouting, "What's your name?" And I made the mistake of telling him and getting in. I put my child in. It was difficult to get in from the get-go because the car was not in compliance. It only had one working door. And as we were driving, my seven-year-old put his foot up on the back of the console, and I whispered to him to put it down. The driver then turned to him, not me, and began shouting that he wanted him to put his foot down. He was going to make it dirty, and he didn't want to have to clean his car, and he did it in an aggressive tone. I said, "Please do not address my child. I've asked him to put his foot down. He won't be doing it again. If you have something to say, say it to me." Then he said, "I'll see who's getting aggressive," and began filming my son. I asked him to not film my son, and he said, "I'm not. I'm filming you, and we'll see who's aggressive here." He began with more profane language. He became more aggressive and unstable. He dropped us off in a parking lot, not where we were supposed to go. He swore and called me more names, such as stupid bitch, in front of my son, and blasting music that we had initially asked him to turn down, which he did not. And as I was getting my son out of the only working door of the car, we managed to get a picture of him and started to share the story. I made a complaint to Uber. They only replied that that was too bad and they could do a refund. We replied again that that's not good enough. We want to know if they make their drivers accountable for their actions and how to escalate this. And there's been no further response. I've tried to put this story out in as many places as possible with really little answer and definitely no closure.
Now, this was in Las Vegas, as I remember
this
you saying.
This was in Las Vegas.
So the Uber, or the response you got from Uber was just what, from Uber support, or?
Yes, from Uber support. Story, we will issue a refund. End of story.
Yeah, that, you know, Ed has told me this, and I don't know if don't know if this is exactly how they do this. I wouldn't doubt it. But apparently when you address Uber in a complaint, they look for keywords. Isn't that what you were telling me, Ed?
That seems to be the way it works. Because what happens as either a driver or a customer, when you send a message to them, you will 99% of the time receive back a canned cut and paste response. And you will never get consecutive responses from the same quote unquote person. So it's the whole system is a scam from top to bottom. I mean, I don't know what you know about us and our little program here and my little history, but from the inside, I can tell you it is believe me. You just take you're taking chances every time you get into an Uber vehicle and a Lyft vehicle.
And that's the thing is I had no idea because I've heard so many good things about it. Friends are using it. It's not popular in my area, but I've heard, well, you've got to try it. It's more affordable, nice, mm-hmm. clean cars. You can pay online. There's no exchange of cash. And I thought, great, we'll try this one time. And it's just, this experience has stayed with me. It's horrifying. I can't believe that I put my child through that. It's so dangerous, and we really do need to create awareness on this. People need to feel safe, and this shouldn't even be legal.
Well, that's, a lot of us have been saying that since Uber first came on the scene. As a former taxi driver with 31 years experience, John has a similar time in the business. We are painfully aware of the cost, the expense, and the time and trouble that goes into making a taxi cab legal. There are inspections, there are regulations. You will hear around this country many, many politicians giving lip service to public safety, and yet we'll then turn around and water down the regulations for a TNC, Transportation Network Company, so much that it's unbelievable. Here in the state of Florida, July 1st, we're going to statewide regulations. The county I live in now requires an annual inspection of Uber and Lyft cars. That goes away July 1st. The state is actually, in most of the states where there's statewide regulations, Uber literally wrote the laws. And they generally get passed overwhelmingly. So that's what you're up against. And I'm sorry that you and your son had a poor experience.
I was going to ask you, where do you live now? Or where do you live, I guess I should say? What city?
We live near Toronto, Canada.
Okay. Are you on the Canadian side?
Yes. I'm Canadian. Ah. We live in Canada. And I live near Toronto, but Toronto's the only place you probably would have heard of because we live in sort of a rural area close to Toronto.
I once had a donut in London. I had a Tim Hortons in London.
You had a donut where?
In London, Ontario.
Oh, okay.
I spent the night in Stratford.
Oh, right. Yes, I know Stratford.
By the way, I absolutely love Toronto. My wife and I actually went up there during our honeymoon. We drove up there from the Niagara Falls area. We drove up. Absolutely love Toronto. Except I will say, it's almost like New York City in how they can be cab drivers out there and their fellow motorists kind of interact.
Yes, issue is the bicycle lanes because we have these wide bicycle lanes, so everyone's all driving together and it can become dangerous.
Yeah, bicycles and cars weren't meant to mix. I'm sorry. I don't know if you're a bicyclist, but I just don't think it's a good idea.
No, too dangerous.
Well, Megan, listen, I appreciate you coming on here, and you know, believe you me, Ed and I are trying to get the message out to as many people as possible. Do you have a Twitter account by chance?
I do not, but I'm happy to create one.
I would do so because what I want to start doing, and I'm probably on social media more than I should. Actually, ask my wife too.
I agree with that. My phone blows up every day.
But one of the most popular hashtags on Twitter is delete Uber. And it was going like wildfire during the whole issue out in New York, when they would not, when they jumped in and were not honoring the strike that cab drivers were, had initiated over the travel ban. But, it's not as popular as it was, but you can probably get your story out there as much as possible, humanly possible, through Twitter. Personally, I think Twitter reaches more people than Facebook, only because with Facebook, you're normally just interacting with friends. Now, I know you came onto that anti-Uber group, but again, you're kind of, in a sense, you're kind of preaching to the choir on that one.
Well, I went to many different groups putting this, and some of them were Uber driver groups, because I thought that they would want to be aware of who's representing them and that they would be against these horrible, unstable drivers bringing down their personal business. But I came away with thousands of threats and horrible, profane language, even threatening my child. So, like, this is the kind of people that we're dealing with. There's no stability within the group.
Are you kidding me?
Well, you I had to block people. I had to report them.
You, when you get a chance, you should message me some of those groups you visited, because, you know, I'm the kind of guy that absolutely, I'm of the belief that that the only thing a bully understands is a bigger bully. And I would love to get at some of those people, to be honest with you.
Sounds good.
Megan, before you go, I just want to say, and look, I'm sorry that this knucklehead made you and your child feel uncomfortable. And one of the points I've been trying to make to folks since this whole thing came about, this whole Uber thing, is that, you know, the old saying about, you know, if it sounds too good to be true, you know, and again, this goes back to, you know, well, what do you expect for peanuts? You know, you're paying a third of the price for a taxi cab, and you know, you've got to lose out somewhere. And as John has heard me say many, many times, what many people want is a limo service for bus fare. And I'm not pointing that at you. I'm just saying this is why Uber is allowed to proliferate. 5 years ago, everybody looked down their noses at cab drivers. Today, everybody wants to be one. And again, I am sorry that I'm sorry that you had that problem. But I thank you so much for trying to make folks aware of it, and we will certainly take your story and run with it.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for joining.
It's nice to have a bit of a platform to be able to share this experience without threats.
Well, you never have to worry about that with us. The only person we threaten is Donald Trump. Secret Service hasn't caught up with us yet.
Glad to be Canadian.
You know, you may have a neighbor before long.
Hey, Megan, I have one more question for you, if you don't mind. Are you there? Yeah, from what I understand, is it true that Canadians are going to build a wall to keep the Americans out?
Well, I hope not, because that'll also keep out our shopping.
And I also understand you're going to have the Mexicans pay for it. Is there any truth to that?
I don't know.
Okay.
It's all such a crazy show.
All right. Thanks again. We appreciate you calling in.
Thanks again, Megan. Take
Thanks
care.
Thanks for having me. Thanks so much. Take care.
Bye-bye now.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, there you go.
Now, how enlightening was that, huh?
Very much so. Very much so. Well, you know, I've heard the stories. I've heard the stories. And, you know, and look.
I tried to get, as a matter of fact, this young lady that where we played the audio clip there from the fake Uber driver.
Right, right.
I tried to get her to come on, and I don't think that she wanted to share it much anymore. I think, to tell you the truth, I think that she still today is probably riding Uber. Now, I'm not talking about Megan. I'm talking about this other.
Well, that's who I thought was calling in. Other lady. But no, I understand the difference now. Well, if we can talk about that tape for a second, I haven't listened to it in a couple of weeks or a week or so. But if you listen to that woman, okay, and she hits this guy with a lot of valid points, but listen to her closely. Oh, I don't want you to charge me for this. Oh, I don't want a bad rating for this. Oh, which means this wasn't enough to frighten her. She's still going to use the service.
Back.
Absolutely, she'll go back. Absolutely. I have heard the horror stories. I had a young lady the other day, and a very, very, very pleasant young lady, medical student, back in town to visit her folks, and we just had a wonderful ride and a wonderful conversation. And she wants to be a pediatrician, and just a pleasant young lady. And she was not the first young lady to tell me that, you know, they're very much afraid when they get into a Lyft or an Uber, to which I say, well, why? Why do you do it then? You know, well, it's the price. Is it worth it? Is it worth it? And again, it's not to say that there aren't creepy cab drivers out there. There are. But at least you have more recourse in a licensed, insured, marked vehicle. And
to your point there, Ed, you're absolutely right. Yes, we do. There are some cab drivers out there. Usually it is in cities where the regulations may be a little bit more lax. I addressed a situation in Baltimore where I complained about a bad experience I had with a cab out there. And nobody gave, I reached out to the city, I reached out to the inspectors out there, no response whatsoever. So yes, there are cities in this country where the regulations and the interacting with the public could be a lot better.
Oh, without question.
That's for sure. But having said that, you know, you look down, you Google cab drivers, and you know, you see a couple stories sprinkled through here, a lot of it repeated and what have you. You Google Uber, and it's just the number. I mean, I get a feed on Google Alerts every day, and there's a different story, at least two or three stories on that about a bad ride. Unfortunately, a lot of times it involves sexual improprieties, but it also includes bad driving. You know, over there in the UK, there's constantly pictures of Uber cars that are going the wrong way down a roadway there in London.
That is just amazing to see that. All those pictures.
You broke up on that last. I did. Yeah. Now I got the gist of what you were saying.
I will say this.
We have time. I want to run.
Go ahead.
Okay. Go ahead, Ed. Go ahead.
No, I was just going
to
say.
Well, I wanted to.
Let's not forget.
I got an idea for this. Bye.
Okay. One of us is talking. Which one of us is it?
Go ahead.
Let me finish my thought.
You got it, sir.
So let's not forget, there's also, I mean, they're prevalent in the taxi business as well, but here in this TNC land, and I've been through it already a couple of times, where people just will accuse you of something, and we've talked about this, and boom, the driver just gets shut down. There's a lot of nitwit customers out there, especially on these platforms. On virtually every ride I get off these platforms, I am desperately trying to educate people on how to properly put the address in. So because as often as not, there's a difference in where they say they are and where they really are. And I gave up just trying to hunt them down. I go to the pin and that's it. And they get upset when you cancel on them. Well, I can't find you. Well, where are you? Well, what does it say? And they'll say to me, what does it say? Well, you know, that's where I am. You have to find me. So, you know, it's just a bad, bad thing, this whole thing. Anyway, I'm going to get off of that because we have much, much happier things to talk about here coming up in the next few minutes. By the way, if you want to squeeze a phone call in here, 213-943-3587. Probably the last time I give that number out. 213-943-3587.
Absolutely. I wanted to. The only reason it made me think of this story was that my one of the McDonald's in town now is putting up their on their marquee the fact that you can have food delivered via Uber Eats. And we discussed this several weeks ago, McDonald's has joined the Uber Eats program. And I'm thinking to myself, the first thing that came to mind with that is that if you're too lazy to actually go out to go get your McDonald's, then you probably really should instead be ordering a salad from an outfit like Bite Squad or some other, I think Bite Squad's a local service up here, but I'm sure there are a lot of food delivery services. But so, but if you need Uber to deliver your McDonald's, then you're pretty much a loser. I'm sorry. But having said that, and also speaking about Toronto, Uber said it is investigating after a Toronto couple complained that Uber Eats brought them two pizzas and two sodas they had ordered, but instead two moldy sandwiches, one of them partially eaten, and a salad that appeared to have been made several days earlier. The delivery ordered by Anna, I'm not going to try to pronounce her last name, and Blake, who I'm also not going to try to pronounce his last name, on chicken. Sunday arrived more than 30 minutes late and was stuffed in a large brown bag. The couple opened it to find two decaying sandwiches along with a few unidentified yellow patties and utensils that had already been opened. I had a really bad Uber ride. Can I give this driver one star or will it wreck his ratings? She went on to say that the smell overwhelmed the entire room. I don't know where the driver got this mysterious big brown bag with an order number, which wasn't even our order, or the order number from the restaurant. This is one thing. I understand. I understand the whole concept of food delivery. A lot of people do it. You know, back in the day, it was only. It was only like Chinese food or pizzas that you'd have delivered. And you'd have a representative from that restaurant bringing you the food. Well, now you've got this situation where you have, and Uber's really big into this for some reason, but they, you know, they have the driver go pick up food at the restaurant and bringing it to the customer. You know, here's the thing. For the peanuts that they're getting paid to do that, who the hell wants to, who cares if they get that right? It's such a silly idea. It's not funny.
You're not wrong. And, a lot of people are snowed over by Uber. And now it's become so ubiquitous in the vocabulary of this country. Uber, they must be good. If somebody themselves hasn't had an actual up close and personal bad experience, they still think it's fine, you know. And what the heck? For $3, I'll get my, you know. It's
yeah.
We can go round and round on that, but I think it's time to shelve Uber for this week, and let's talk about the future of this show. What do you say?
I love the idea.
All right, but before we talk about the future of this show, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I'd like to talk to you, John, about the history of this show and when you started it here on Blog Talk Radio. By the way, once again, this is our final broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. Next week, we move to Radio TFI. By the way, we're moving to 10 a.m. Eastern Time. And that's 9 a.m. in the Central Time Zone and goddamn too early on the West Coast. stupid o'clock, as a friend of mine likes to call it.
So
we've got the moving vans packed and just a couple more boxes to load up, and we'll be out of here. And we'll talk more about that in a couple of minutes. But, John, let's go back to the day you decided to start on radio on blogtalkradio.com. What was going through your head at the time, and what prompted you to do it?
Well, here's the thing. You know, two of the things that I actually wanted to do when I was a child was I wanted to drive a cab because we took a lot of cabs when I was a kid, and I wanted to be a radio announcer. At the time when I was a kid, I wanted to be a disc jockey. So as I found out, through certain channels, you have to have a formal education to be a broadcaster. There are actually schools out there. Unfortunately, with some of the things that happened in my past, I wasn't able to attend school. So I just thought I was going to put that dream to bed. Wasn't going to happen. Well, along comes the idea of internet radio. So actually, I started out with Blog Talk Radio as more of a political type format. At the time, it was around the time of, I think it was about 2010, I believe, around the time of the midterm elections. Barack Obama had already been president at this point in time for a little over a year, and of already the right-wing kooks were coming out of the woodwork. And we forget about how President Obama was treated by people on the internet. That's kind of how I got started into it. I'd still been driving cab, but we didn't have the threat of Uber back then, so it wasn't something that I felt we needed to that would make a show.
No, none of
the only thing I would have thought at the time. The only thing I thought at the time that would have made a show was something to make the taxi industry better, because unfortunately, yes, this industry has gone downhill in many ways as cities. At least in my area, we're expanding the market, putting more cabs out on the street. And it's like the analogy I've used on multiple occasions when it comes to anything. If you expand, like in baseball, if you expand you expand the number of teams from 30 to 60, suddenly the level of the product, the level of play will be a lot worse, because you have people, that just only so many people can play ball at a certain level. So anyways, I'm sorry, I got off on a little sidebar there. But and then I gave it up. I actually, when my wife and I had started seeing each other about 5 years ago, I just felt that, I had a life, and, we talked about it, and I just decided I was going to go ahead and give it up. If I had anything to express, I would express it on Twitter. I resurrected it. My wife went through, some life-changing surgery and whatnot. And there was a lot of times where, she just had to stay home on, she had to just go with bed rest. And I decided, to kill some time, I would start up a show. Well, at this point in time, Uber was starting to become more prevalent and whatnot. More people were using it and whatnot. And I saw the effect it had on the industry. So I mixed in a show with a little bit of politics, a little bit of Uber, and just kind of took it off with that.
And what was the name of that show?
I've gone under several names. If one of the, the initial show was, believe it or not. No, I didn't do that. I'm sorry. I have to back up on that. Show name actually was, The Shannon Files. And actually that is my current Twitter handle still, which I think I'm going to wind up changing.
Don't. I like it. I like that.
Oh, and I even played the entry to the song or to the show was the old theme music from the Rockford Files.
Right. Okay. There you go.
And then I went to just simply Shannon on Blog Talk Radio. And reintroduced the show again or started back again, I went back with Shannon Files. So That was it. It's been a reliable venture as far as a reliable service. I'm not putting it down, but you still have limitations with it. So I'm excited about this new venture we're getting into here. I think it's going to give us more options in the end, a lot more freedom. I'll tell you the truth, a lot less prep work, at least on my part, which I thank you very much for, Ed. But enough about me. Let's get into the meat and potatoes.
All right. So I've also for quite some time wanted to start my own internet radio station. And I really wanted to do this a couple of years ago at the height of the whole Uber nonsense here in Broward County. And because I had my business going, I just simply didn't have the time. I bought all the equipment. I had an unused room at my old office. That was going to be Radio TFI. That was going to be the base. The desk and all the equipment I'm sitting at using right now was in my office, was in its own room. And I wanted to be able to broadcast out to the drivers of Broward County and keep them posted on what was going on. There were commission meetings every week, every 2 weeks, and it was a very confusing time. Unfortunately, I never got around to that. This is a little backstory here, a little bit more backstory. So I was trolling through the pedophile section of the internet, and I stumbled across John Shannon.
Oh, you bastard.
I saw him on Twitter somewhere. I honestly don't remember where. And I started following him, and oh, look at that. He's got a little podcast radio thing going. And I started calling in, and there you go. So let's move on. So what happens after today? Well, right now we're simulcasting on the radio TFI.com, also available in the App Store. We now have 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to do basically what it is we want. We're going to try to program in 1 hour blocks. Now, starting next week, the show moves to 10 a.m., as we've mentioned earlier, and stupid o'clock on the West Coast. I am this close to having, we will have a new call-in number. I am this close to having a call-in number specifically for our friends over in the UK so that it's not a long-distance call for them. We're working all this out. On the technical side, we believe it will be a much clearer presentation. I was discussing this with John off the air prior to coming on the air this morning, and I've got some software, and we're setting it all up, and it will sound as though John and I are sitting right next to each other, despite the fact that he is in St. Paul, Minnesota, and I am not. We will have available to us more technical toys. It's available to us now. I get a little bit more use out of it. I've already explained some of it to John, and he's practicing with it to get the hang of it. In addition, I will be myself. We'll be adding another edition of the Taxi Stand Hour Monday nights at 8 p.m. That will begin June 19th. That will be a solo effort on my part. It'll be a 1 hour program. Speaking of the length of the programs, we're going to see how it goes in the next few weeks, but we've already discussed expanding the Saturday edition to 2 hours, and we'll see how that goes. We'll see once we move and see what kind of response we're getting with the new phone numbers, let everything settle in, because I believe I speak for both of us when I say we both enjoy doing this. I know I enjoy it. Again, more better technical stuff, a much clearer sound. There will always be something on Radio TFI, whether it's my old music collection filling in the time. We will also be playing encore presentations of the most recent shows. Currently, I have the most recent 6 shows on a rotation. The schedule is going to change. The website is going to be updated. Right now, it's just basically a placeholder. You can go to radiotfi.com. You can click on, you can listen there. There are four other options, four players you can click on, and it points you to your particular app stores. There's a gallery I'm filling in with all those promo images that I do every week. They'll all be available as time goes on. And again, it's a project. It's become a lot of work, but I'm enjoying doing it. But, you know, I also have other things that have to get done. So, I'm very much looking forward to it. I know John is. John's has a little trepidation about it, and his biggest concern is you folks right out there making sure you can contact us. And I have assured him that I know what I'm doing, and he fell for it.
Yeah, that's what I'm afraid of. In the meantime, I mean, you know, phone calls aren't the only way you can get a hold of us and comment. I mean,
you don't
we still
say.
Have we'll still have our Twitter feeds that you can send us a tweet to. I have my social, everything is still up here. So if you want to leave a comment or whatnot, and we're saying, well, you know, if you agree with us, I'll read your comment. No, seriously, there are other ways to get a hold of us as well. We love the callers, and you know, that hopefully that gets resolved here and with a new format. I think it's going to be better too. I'm excited about it.
Yes. And I think it's fair to say we really, really want to get the transportation industry, the for hire vehicle industry. And honestly, whether you drive a taxi, a bus, Uber, Lyft, everybody's got an opinion. Everybody's got a side to a story. And, everybody has a stake in this. You know, this is how we make our living. And yes, there are some parts about it that we don't like, and there are other things we'd like to see improved. But we also want to start getting people to talk about it, and to talk about it as a group, as a unified voice. And once again, we will point to our friends over in London. They seem to have gathered together, and they're pretty well organized. By the way, London Taxi Radio has already given us permission to rebroadcast their shows, so that will be on the schedule. And by the way, one other thing, I almost forgot. When I'm notified of it, if there's something going on in your neck of the woods, a commission meeting, a council meeting, a Senate hearing that's being broadcast on the internet, let us know. I can rebroadcast it over Radio TFI. I have that ability now. So if it's of interest to our industry, we want to know about it. And we will do our level best to get all the information out there that we can, because it's about you. It's about us. It's about all of us.
Absolutely.
I'm done. I'm spent.
I'm spent. Hell, I thought you were going to carry us right to the end there.
Well, I was thinking about it. Sir, this is your space. I'm going to give you the last minute.
Oh, goodness. Well, you know, just going back to what Ed has said, it's about the industry. You know, it goes back to the what I've said about the Las Vegas situation, where they were trying to fight back Uber there. You know, that's a battle against with the taxi industry there, and the taxi companies out there and Uber. And I hate to say it, but this isn't about the taxi companies to me, because in the case of Las Vegas, they're some of the most greedy bastards I've ever met. But this is about the taxi driver. This is about the taxi driver. And you know, we got a call on the board here, and we don't have time to take it. There is code 678. I appreciate you calling in. But not going to work, unfortunately. So, but this is about the taxi driver. No doubt about it. So,
well, John,
I know that's about all I have to say.
Well, a big thank you and farewell to Blog Talk Radio. Thank you for helping us. And we will see
you. Oh, it cost me.
And we will see you all on Radio TFI next week, 10 a.m. And for those of you on Radio TFI, stand by. Stay with us until after the top of the hour. John, say goodbye.
All right. Say goodnight, Dick.
Goodnight, Dick.
See ya!